Why do we like the music we like, and how much say do we actually have on what we enjoy listening to? Nolan Gasser delves into those questions in his new book, Why You Like It, The Science and Culture of Musical Taste. Gasser is a musician and composer. He's also the architect of Pandora's Music Genome Project. And Nolan, how much of the music that we like do we actually consciously determine that we like, and how much of it is what we're predisposed to enjoy?
So, you know, starting, you know, at the highest level, there's a lot about our musical taste that is well beyond our own control. A lot of the ways that music is made, whether it's here in the States or elsewhere, comes really out of the physics of sound, the fact that we like octaves, the fact that we like consonants, like major thirds and major chords more than dissonance, the fact that we like rhythm that's sort of steady and easy to follow, but yet spiced with some syncopation. These are sort of bred into us really cognitively through our own evolution and, again, through the actual physics of sound. And then as we dive deeper, a lot of our own individual musical taste is indeed seeded not by our own psychology or even our own personality, but by the sort of the culture that we grow up in, the types of sort of subcultures, the sort of the actual geography that we grow up in, the circle of friends that we hang out with, and especially in our youth. It's really only kind of in that last mile, as I call it, of our experience with music that it really becomes our individual taste as opposed to our spouse or our best friend or our sibling.
Well, it sounds like then if you are a fan of a band that maybe you or others find embarrassing, it might not be your fault.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of things about our musical taste that we might not admit so readily, and I've got a few sort of funny anecdotes about that in the book. And part of that really comes out of the boundaries that we put in our own minds, and it's one of the sort of the themes that I try to run through the book. You know, music is so varied, and there's so much wonderful music out there that has our name on it. And a lot of it, you know, we kind of sort of attach certain meaning and certain identity to certain artists or genres, you know, that we could never possibly like Celine Dion or hip-hop or whatever it might be, or classical music, because it's not our thing. And so we really all owe it to ourselves to try to sort of check those biases at the door, because almost every genre and style and approach of music has something that we ourselves can resonate with.
Well, I was wondering if there are certain of those criteria that are maybe more dominant than others. You know, you talked about culture and your upbringing and your geography. Do any of those matter more in terms of not so much what we're exposed to, but what we end up liking?
If I had to pick one of those interludes, if you will, I probably, at least at this moment, would say it's that subcultural level. I actually call it intraculture, those cultures within our culture. And we all navigate in and out of many, many of them based on, you know, our geography, our faith, our education, our income, our affinities. And all of those groups that we interact with not only help us to shape our own identity, but give us access to those cultural elements that are part of that intraculture, and that includes music.
Do you find that age does play a factor? I'm wondering if, like so many things, you know, there's like a comfort food, maybe there's like a comfort music, the types of songs that maybe you listen to at home or that your friends listen to when you were in grade school or high school?
You know, certainly, you know, we tend to think about our musical taste as being most sort of formed when we're young, you know, when we're in our teens and our 20s. And it's like after that, we no longer have the ability to find new music that we love. And I certainly want to kind of dispel that. I think music discovery is something that can last as long as we do. And especially now, in, you know, 2019, we have at our fingertips access to pretty much any style of music from any part of the world, from any century, like never before.
So you reference how exposing people to different types of music is easier now, pretty much, than it has been at any point in history. I'm wondering about when people do that, how much of whether or not they like something, is it a matter of keeping an open mind? Is it you just have to listen to it and, you know, kind of like to the earlier question, you're kind of predisposed to liking it, even if it's vastly different than what you're used to hearing and what you know you already like?
Well, you know, what your question is getting at kind of brings to my mind that there's a really fun quote. It's actually from the 1440s, so not one that many people know. It's from a theorist named, his name is Tinctoris, and he wrote that nothing that was written more than 40 years ago is worth listening to. You know, if you go through music history up until really into the 20th century, or certainly into the 19th century, perhaps, people didn't really listen to music that was written more than 40 years ago. It's fascinating. But of course, we have the ability, as never before, just with our overall orientation and now with technology, that we can go not just 40 years back, but 400 years back and far beyond that even. So, I mean, the process of understanding what's going on in that music and how it can relate to us, you know, takes some effort, because we actually, our brain does gravitate and does sort of formulate its understanding of music based on the music of your own culture. And just as we, you know, if we try to speak a language when we start in our 20s, we'll speak with an accent. If we try to listen to music from another culture in our 20s for the first time, we will hear it with an accent. But it doesn't mean, unlike language, where we'd have a hard time understanding somebody, we can understand the music. We can get something out of it. I guess all that's to say that depending on the music that you're familiar with, you know, a certain kind of music will be perhaps alien and will take some effort, but it's certainly a journey worth taking. You may not love everything that you're hearing, but you're going to discover a lot more than you know now if you make it an actual effort.
All right. That's Nolan Gasser, author of Why You Like It, The Science and Culture of Musical Taste. Nolan, good to talk to you. Thank you.
Thank you very much.